than the version. It could be New Living Translation. But nevertheless, whichever version of the Bible that you are using, it is still the Word of God. And of course, the first thing that we must do is to get rid of something. Can you imagine a cup that is full? That, you know, as you pour in stuff, it will just flow out. Nothing new can ever fit that cup. Are you a cup that is full? That no matter what the scripture says, you know, it just doesn't come in. So for us, maybe for some of us especially, we need to empty our cup. So that, you know, God's word can fill the cup, God's word can fill our hearts. And the first thing that we need to check our cup is to make sure that these are the few things not inside our cup. Or else, you will not be able to love as God has commanded us. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. So if our cup is filled with this few stuff, it will be very hard for us to live out how God wants us to live, to love one another. So if in your cup there are these few things, let's look at each of them individually and see what can we do about each and every one of them. So first of all, you need to strip off malice. Now what does it mean by malice? It is an intense and long-lasting bitterness against a person. It is wishing that something bad will happen to a person. It is vicious, it is spiteful, it is holding a grudge. It is the person who turns his heart over to evil. It is a person who no longer has any good feeling towards the other person, none whatsoever. Or it could be the person that will care less if something bad happens to the other person. Do we have malice in our heart? You know, we have the Cantonese word, which is very interesting. All right. So if you die, you die. It doesn't concern me. All right. I find that Cantonese has always been a very straightforward language. It's straight to the point that I'm scared. 哇,鸡里会说. This is something that a person of malice will say. This is something that a person of malice, a malicious person, will feel in it. His heart. Titus 3:3-5. At one time, this was in the past, hopefully for you as well. In one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passion and pleasures. We live in the malice and envy, being hard and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Before this, yes, we could have malice in our hearts. But brothers and sisters, we have hope because the kindness and the love of our God has appeared. And God has saved us. And we have the washing of the rebirth, we have the renewal of the Holy Spirit, and that is why with God we can remove this thing called malice from our cup, from our hearts. Deceit. We are called to strip off deceit, and deceit is to deceive and to mislead other people but to achieve one's own end through words. And it usually involves flattery, false promises, false tales, suggestive talk, and lying. Deceiving people. Do we have that? Hypocrisy. First Peter chapter 2 calls us to remove, strip off hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy is one who pretends and acts out something he is not. It is a person who acts as though he loves and believes in God, but he does not live as God tells him to live. It is a person who pretends to be following God, but in reality, he is living however he wants to live with no regard to God. It could be a person who acts as though he cares for people, but instead, He is full of selfishness. He is self-seeking. He hoards. He's possessed. He's possessive. He's envious. He is proud. And Matthew chapter 23, the whole chapter, Matthew chapter 23, Jesus warns about hypocrisy. So there is hope, once again, if we are like that before this. If we are like that before this, there is hope for us. Because we were given a new life right now. Envy. To strip off envy. The person who covets what someone else has, it could be money, it could be position, it could be looks, social status, possessions, popularity, authority, it could be clothes. Envy. Very dangerous feeling. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Once again, there's hope, brothers and sisters. If our cup, we are envious of somebody else, possession, money, looks, there is hope for us. The last thing that we need to get rid of is slander of every kind. Slander is to talk about and to tear down another person. And it includes criticizing, judging, gossiping, condemning, grumbling against another person. And once again, Ephesians 4:31-32. There is always hope. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Remove all this, brothers and sisters, from your cup, from your heart. And after we have removed all these things that may clouded our mind, clouded our hearts, only then, we can fill the cup up with something that belongs to God. Only then we can crave the milk of the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So before we can even fill in something that's already full, we must remove from the cup, from our hearts, something that don't belong to God. Only then, after that, we can fill it with pure spiritual food, craving for milk. Now, when babies cry, you know, they are usually because they're hungry. That happens to my Krista. She has some problem in a way that she don't like formula milk. Okay? But we know that formula milk is very, very important. So she is like 1 year old right now, but she's about 7 kg, which is underweight. So this is the problem with maybe some of us. Do we have the habit of skipping important meals? When we talk about food, we usually early lah, all right? When we talk about having a feast, when we talk about a very good dinner, we will usually be on time. But when we talk about our spiritual food, are we skipping the most important meal of the day? And for some of us, we may just settle for breadcrumbs when the Lord is throwing a feast of His words to us, ready for our usage. We have our, you know, Bible in the handphone. We have our physical Bible. We have many, many different types of Bible today, life application Bible. But sometimes we just eat breadcrumbs. We just spend 5 minutes, maybe in the car. Maybe it's a jam, you know, we have 10 minutes there. Or if it is a longer jam, you have half an hour. So sometimes we have to look at ourselves and say that, how am I supposed to live off a whole day with only breadcrumbs from God? Do you eat breadcrumbs for breakfast and you last for the whole day until at night you go to sleep? No, right? Physically, that is insufficient. Now, what makes you think that having breadcrumbs for our spiritual food is going to last us for one day? And some of us, we only, you know, be here on Sunday, we listen to maybe half an hour, and that half an hour of God's Word It's supposed to last until next Sunday. Are you in a fast for God's word? Are you in a fast, or are you actually skipping meals every day? Now, all believers, we are seen to have a need to grow. We have a need to learn more about the Lord. And all believers are to crave, to hunger for the word of God. So we also have to remember that we are to grow up in our salvation. We have to grow up to our full salvation until we reach maturity. And how do we do that? Eat. You need to eat. You need to drink spiritual food of God. And the reason why we are eating and drinking the spiritual food of God is that we have tasted it. We have tasted the goodness of God. And I believe once we've tasted something good, you recommend it to your friends. You say that, okay, I'm coming back for more. I'm coming back for more with my VIP friends. I'm coming back for more with my children. I'm coming back for more with my whole family. And the reasons, perhaps for some of us who have forgotten about the Lord's goodness, is because we don't dwell in the Word of God. As we go day by day, we have forgotten how good the Lord tasted. So as we have the Scripture, as we have the Scripture to guide us, to remind us day in, day out, God's promises for us, God's commands for us, how many can we recall actually? What can we recall when we talk about God's promises? We definitely remember God is good. We definitely remember God will never forsake us. We remember the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. But what else do you remember about the promises of God? And for a person who have gone through a lot of stuff, the person Job, recorded in the book of Job, you'll notice that he is likely the least person that can give thanks to God, that can actually come back to God. If I'm Job, I'm definitely not behaving like him. But we see that in Job chapter 23, verse 12, I have not departed from the commands of God's lips. I have treasured all the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. How many of us can say this to God today? God feeds us, God nourishes us, God nurtures us. And God is teaching us all about his grace, his wonderful salvation, and his promises for us. So brothers and sisters, start feasting upon God's word, because you will realize that it is a way that God is using to help us to love one another, to prepare us so that we will not be strangers when we step into eternity later. So once again, we are born again to love because we have experienced the same birth. Because we express the same kind of love. And because we enjoy the same nourishment. We are children in the same family. Let us pray. Father in heaven, indeed we want to ask that you help us today. Especially when the handphone and when the media is taking all our time away from you. And Lord, we will not settle for breadcrumbs. We will not just study, you know, the one word that pops up from our Bible apps every single day. We will not settle for the Our Daily Bread book, one page of it per day. But Lord, we pray that you will continue to grant us this urge, this thirst, this hunger for your word. That as we continue to grow in you, we realize that our journey here on earth has just started. After salvation, there is a lifelong experience of learning how to love you and learning how to love the people around us. So Lord, we pray that as we continue to dwell in your words, you help us to teach us, to apply love to the people, especially those close to us, because most probably they are the, you know, they are the people that feel the worst of us. And for that, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. We should love our spouses the best of our ability, but sometimes, Lord, we have neglected them. We should have loved our children, spending time with them, guiding them in the Word of God. But Lord, we have failed you. Forgive us. Lord, you have called us to love one another, whether they are believers or whether they are not. We are called to love our bosses, our colleagues, those under us, Lord. But sometimes we have failed. Lord, forgive us. And Lord, we pray that in this time of challenges, you will guide us through your words. That all that we do, Lord, we will show sincere, genuine love to the people around us, because we love them, and that is the way that we show love to you as well. And we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. And we pray that, Lord, we will be encouraged, we will be challenged to love you to a greater extent for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.